question. You're saying that there is a particular ladder which is given in the Bhagavad Gita. So it's like, okay, so sometimes it is said that from karma to jnana to yoga to bhakti. But there are other places where this particular sequence is not maintained.
Sometimes it seems like it says the next step will be karma yoga.
Okay, sometimes karma yoga is considered to be higher than other yoga. So why is that? Okay. See, there is a technical question. I'll try to answer it as simply as I can. The point is that there is a particular conception that action in this world is a source of bondage, whereas rejection of this world or disconnection from this world, that is a source of liberation. That is the operating paradigm with which Arjuna's questions begin. He thinks, if I fight this war, I'll be bound. If I renounce this war, renounce the world, then I will not be doing bad karma, I'll be liberated. Krishna in the Gita challenges this fundamental conception itself. He says that actually, yes, action leads to bondage. Renunciation can save you from bondage. But then he says things are not that simple. Action can also lead to liberation. And renunciation, if it is done without purification, that will also lead to bondage. This is mithyachara sochita. Such a person can become hypocritical. So essentially, Krishna says that spiritual growth is a matter of changing our intention. Now, when the intention is changed, whether one acts in the world or one renounces the world, that is secondary. It is the intention that has to change. And the whole principle of the yoga ladder is the gradual elevation of the intention. So initially, I want to enjoy the world. That's my intention acting. As we move onwards, the idea is that this world is going to cause me a lot of trouble. I want to get out of trouble. So therefore, I will stay away from the world. So the yoga of action, karma yoga, is basically I want to enjoy the world. That's karma kanda. Karma yoga is basically that I want to live in a way by which I will not suffer in this world. Jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga is, I will not act in this world so that I will not suffer. But all these yogas, to large extent, are still eye-centric. Whether I am getting enjoyment or whether I am saving myself of trouble. Bhakti yoga focuses on Krishna. How can I best serve Krishna? So if I can serve Krishna better by acting in this world, I'll act in this world. If I can serve Krishna better by renouncing the world, I'll renounce the world. So now if we consider this bhakti perspective, in the bhakti perspective, it may well work out that a person who is in this world is having a purer intention to serve Krishna than a person who has renounced the world. The person who has renounced the world is, from the material perspective, less entangled in the world. But that person is still entangled in self-obsession. In oneself, I don't want to suffer in this world. There's no selflessness still come over there. So that's why the Bhagavad Gita gives us a normal hierarchy. There's action, there's renunciation, there's devotion. That's one hierarchy. Within renunciation, there can be Ashtanga Yoga, there can be Dhyana Yoga. But then the Bhagavad Gita gives us another hierarchy that it's what it recommends for Arjuna. That this whole, so in bhakti, in karma, there is action. In jnana, there is no action. In bhakti also, there is action. So Krishna says, in jnana, there is more of intellection, analysis. Krishna says, from the karma to jnana to bhakti is one hierarchy. First one renounces the world. First one engages in the world. In 18.40 to 18.45, Krishna talks 47, 48. Krishna talks about Daivi Varanashram. He says, Swakarmanatam Abhyarcha, by your work worship him. Then from 18.49 to 18.53, Krishna talks about Gyan Yoga, renouncing the world. Sanyasam Apashtutaha. Person takes sannyas. And then 18.54-55 says, that person who attains the summit of Jnana realization, that is Brahman realization, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatmana Shochitina Kangshiti, Samahasarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktam Labhate Param. That person will attain my bhakti. That's what it tells in 18.54. So here he is giving this hierarchy. That okay, you first do karma, then you renounce the world, then you come to bhakti. But But then 18.56 he says, you don't have to go through all this. Arjuna says, wherever you are, sarva karmanya pisata kurvano madhyapashraya mat prasadada vapnuti shashvatam padamavya. Says, whatever level you are at, from there you start practicing bhakti, you will become liberated eventually. And so the point there is that there is the whole process of going from here to here, from action to renunciation to devotion. But if the action itself is done with devotional intention, then that action, that person is higher than a person who has renounced the world. So when Krishna sometimes seems to say that karma is higher than jnana or yoga, he's not talking about karma simply as action. He's talking about karma done with a yogic intention, the devotional intention. So action which is done with the devotional intention is higher than renunciation of the world without a devotional intention. So if we see devotion as the criteria for moving upwards, as the primary criteria for one's spiritual advancement, then the normal hierarchy can be suspended or it can even become inverted. Normally, a renounced person is considered a more advanced than a person engaged in the world. But a person engaged in the world, if they are engaged for Krishna's sake, then they can be higher. So if we keep the devotional intention in mind and the growth of devotional intention as the basic parameter of spiritual advancement, then we can make sense whenever the Bhagavad Gita seems to invert the normal hierarchy. Okay? Okay. Hare Krishna. Any other questions?